Yesterday, we saw Brenton Abdullah ride the first three winners there, New Tipperary, Girl Sunday and Ajita on the Beaumont track at Newcastle. Ajita had won and then, for whatever reason, fell to the ground after the race. Brenton Abdullah does join us to get an update on that shoulder in particular. How are you feeling, mate?
Yeah, look, it's stiff and sore hoss, but yeah, pretty happy I've finally come out with this.
Well, you look back at the video, and I know you tweeted a photo last night. It's hard to sort of show it on a photo, but thankfully there was a horse that sort of basically, as you curled up, a horse jumped over the top of you.
Yeah, obviously, sort of, jockeys, we are prone to sort of hitting the deck, obviously, every now and then. So I've taught myself that when I hit the deck, I drop and get tucked into a roll.
Yep.
And lucky I did, because if I didn't, Sam Clinton's mount probably would have steamrolled me and... Look, she gave me a little bit of a touch-up, but nothing too bad.
Exactly. Now, we saw yesterday your arm was in a sling, or your shoulder area protecting it. What are you going to do today? What are you thinking about tomorrow?
Yeah, well, sort of when I was laying on the turf there yesterday for the first 30 seconds, I just took my time and I was moving everything around and everything was all right. And I went to move my shoulder and it sort of locked up a bit. So, yeah. Look, it was just more precaution. We weren't sure what I'd sort of done to my shoulder. Just look overnight and all that sort of stuff. It's loosened up a bit now. I'm just sort of stiff and sore through the neck and the shoulder. So, look, there's no breaks. It's just more probably of just getting hit, basically shoulder charged in the ground and then probably getting hit by the horse behind me. So yeah. I'll go down. I've got a physio appointment later this arvo and someone I trust who got me back after my last one with my hand, got me back within 2 days riding. So, look, I'll leave it up to her, and if she feels that I'm going to be fit to ride tomorrow or scrap it up or something like that, then I'll be ready to go.
Okay, we'll wait and see what unfolds through the arvo. You've had a little bit of a run, haven't you? That sort of hand thumb, is that okay?
Yeah, well, I've sort of redone it again.
Oh, really?
After yesterday, so look, it's not as bad as it was, but it'll probably just need a little bit of taping or something for the next week or so. So I'll have probably taping on my left hand and probably taping on my right shoulder, but look, it's a long way from my heart, and look, it's... Things are going, look, on the track, they're going pretty well. Look, obviously, rode the first 3 minutes yesterday and had a good day Saturday, so I don't want to miss a good day's race on Saturday, but I'll make sure the body's in good enough order to do that.
Sounds like a physio treatment will hopefully free up that sort of stiff and soreness you've got.
Yeah, for sure. And look, if I got to go back in the morning, I'll go back in the morning, but... At the moment, I'd say I'm pretty confident in riding.
All right, that's good news. You've got a lot of good rides. I'm not going to go through them, given that you are sort of lying in bed and feeling it a little bit this morning, but His Majesty and Hetty Heights are two that you must be looking forward to getting on and sought after as well for Gay.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, sought after is coming through sort of the grades. She's been, obviously, you know, the provincials and doing the job well. And when Gay presents these horses to town, they don't disgrace themselves. And look, she's a lightly raced. Doing it well, so she'll get a chance to run well. And the other two are Kings. Well, they both ran in the championship race the other day, and both are probably a bit unlucky. His Majesty, look, it's a race where he can probably settle a bit closer if he jumps and be sort of midfield in the running line. And if he produces his best, he'll be hard to beat. Whilst Hetty Heights is a mare who she's a bit one dimensional. She's got no gate speed at all. She's probably going to be back. Kim has got the blinkers on her, which might spark her up a bit, but. Look, she's just that bit one-dimensional where if things do go away, she's got a great turn of foot late and she can run over them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, mate, we'll follow up later in the day, see how you go at the physios. Hope it goes well.
No worries. Thanks.
Good on you. Thanks, Brenton. Brenton Abdullah there. So off to the physios this afternoon. Confident at this stage that he'll be riding tomorrow. So we'll wait and see, and we'll update, of course, through the afternoon here on Sky Sports Radio. Clary Connors joins us. Morning to you, Clary.
Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm well. Just before we talk about tomorrow, Singo's three-year-old filly, Dawny Perfect, you've sent up to Brisbane?
Yeah, mate, she goes to Brisbane. She's already up there. She went up with my other filly, and she's going to race next Saturday at Doomben. I think it's called the Gunsing Classic, that's a 600-metre race.
Yep. You've really sort of targeted Brisbane with her this prep, haven't you?
Yeah, well, little things went wrong with her, and we weren't ready for Sydney, so... We had a talk and everything, so, you know, Brisbane's our go, so we'll do everything right to get her there. And she's had two runs, but they've been too easy. I wasn't going to run her next week. I was going to wait for the Gold Coast bracelet to run over the 1,800, because that's what she wants, 1,800 or 2,000 plus. And And I've got to run her again the week before because she's had two runs have been too easy and she's still too big in condition and she needs a good hard run to get her ready for the races, then the roses and the oats and all that, you know?
Yep, yep. All right, well, we'll look for her next week, Dawny. Perfect. Just on up there, Queen of Wands. She's got pretty good form around her, hasn't she, out of this Hayes Dabbing horse. He's our Rocky who beat her last time and then came out and won again last Saturday.
Yeah, well, the form around is good, yeah. Look, she's a good little filly. She's honest as anything. She's not real big, but she's got a bit of class about her and gets the line strong, you know, very determined. When she's out chasing, she puts her ears right back and head out and as a go, you know?
Yeah, she does. The Sunny Coast is probably going to be a track that suits her just the way she does race, Clary. I know you've drawn wide-ish tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, well, with emergencies, she probably moves in three barriers so if they don't all get runs. And
yep.
So barrier nine out a little bit. But, you know, I've got D Brown on top. That's a big advantage. And as you said, I'm trusting the great straight at the Sunshine Coast. It's such a long run home and sit back and run home, which that's the pattern of racing.
Yeah, it is. Is she sort of, how far can she get in distance, do you think, Clary?
Yeah, well, she'll go the same path as Dawny Perfect after this. She'll run in the race at the Gold Coast, but, you know, she by not a single doubt. You know, I never thought that she'd be going much distance, but we'll see how she performs Saturday, then the Gold Coast, and whether we go into the Roses and the Oaks or just keep her just the 1600.
All right.
You know, the way she races, you think she might go further, but the horse is tricky sometimes. That's their style of racing, and you put them up the longer distance, and they say, no, we don't want to go.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, the way she finishes off, as you say, you'd think she'd get 2,000, but as you say, you never know either. But
That's right. Well, who wrote it? I think from Hong Kong wrote it at Ram.
Yeah, Zach Burton.
Yeah, Zach wrote it. He said, look, I don't think 2,000 will worry you.
Mm.
He wants further. So, you know, I was trusting on him a bit, his expertise a bit.
Yep. Back home, you've got Hardly Ever. It was certainly mentioned last night watching the boys on Formline as a good hope following that win at Warwick Farm.
Yeah, well, I think he's come on a bit more from there. He's a nice little horse. He's not real big. His win was pretty good at Warwick Farm. I thought he showed a lot of authority in the race. James rode him terribly good too, and we're lucky enough to be able to get him again to ride the horse. And I think that 1350 will suit him down to the ground, really. He just got beat first up over 1300 on a sort of fairly soft track, which he doesn't like. So I think the 1350 should suit him. He's drawn a barrel, just hope that the fence is not off, that's all.
Yeah, no, let's hope so. The weather's fine today, so it should be okay. And as you say, you've drawn a barrier. What was I going to say? James McDonald did give her a peach the other day,
wrote him absolute truth.
And, yeah.
And we're going forward for Saturday because he said, look, he's Saturday class horse. So, you know, I said, well, let's look for a race. And this is a suitable race. It carries a little bit of weight, but the benchmark system, you can't get away from it. I'm one of the people that don't like it, but that's fair, and I've got to put up with it. But 58.5, that's a pretty bit of weight for him. He's not a big horse, but there's nothing else we can do about it.
Well, I guess you look at 58.5 and you look at the top weight of 62, so that's what they'd say, that there is still that spread there.
Yeah, well, that's right. But, you know, we're having trouble, our horses carrying them. That much weight, they can't carry it. It's too hard for them anyway.
Yeah.
That's for these.
No, understand exactly what you're saying. It's people have got their views, and we'll work it out as we go, I suppose. Let's hope the horse can run well for you tomorrow, and the one Queen of Wands at the Sunshine Coast. Good luck to you, Clary.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Good on you, mate. Clary Connors joining us there from his base at Warwick Farm. Anthony Cummings has got time to have a chat out at the trials at Randwick. You've had a couple so far, Anthony.
Yeah, so far so good. A couple don't like a wet track and a couple went okay, so you know, it's a normal morning.
I got told the track was all right.
I think it's just been a bit chewed up. But you know, some horses just prefer it a little bit firmer.
Yeah.
In any event, it's okay.
Talking of that sort of stuff, got a release yesterday. Your 3-year-old Belief's going to have a, a gallop in the Adelaide direction on Monday there at Randwick. I say Adelaide because you're looking towards the Oaks there.
Yeah, she go to Morphinville and run there in the Australasian Oaks or whatever they call it.
Schweppes Oaks.
Yeah, Schweppes Oaks, 2,000 metre race, Group 1 for fillies. I mean, she's very good in the Oaks here and probably a bit unlucky, truth be known, but she's of that standard, and it'd be nice to get the three-year-old Group 1 under the belt.
Yeah, for sure. And she's obviously training on for you to want to go on.
Oh, yeah, she's done really well. Yeah. If anything,
you haven't really overtaxed her, have you?
I think she's had five or six runs or something in a life. As you say, she hasn't been overdone. The change in direction she really has taken a shine to. She's had three or four gallops in that direction, and if anything, she perhaps goes better that way than Sydney way.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll watch for that on Monday. That's out at Randwick Anzac Day, a gallop between races. So you got a couple there tomorrow. Top of my list here. Do you like this? I've spoken to you off air a couple of times. Do you like the filly?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. She probably, the first up win was excellent. Second up, she probably beat herself, just racecraft, made a few mistakes, sort of got on the wrong lead around a bend and sort of went sideways instead of forward. And, she's still very much learning, but, everyone that rides it has got a good rap on it to watch her work. She can run time without effort. And she's, again, a nice athletic type, big, strong thing. So, she ticks a lot of boxes, and hopefully she ticks another one on Saturday.
Given where you've drawn, you'll be able to sort of poke into a similar position?
Yeah, I think so. She's got good gauge speed. She's probably a step slow out first up in winning, but she was quick out second up, and that should be the same. Should be able to take advantage of the gate and get the right run.
Yeah, okay. The other one, Spider Coda, a horse that we know pretty good here. You purposely missed sort of the carnival after the Doncaster prelude?
Yeah, well, it wasn't much. I suppose I could have paid up for it for the Doncaster, but as much as I think he's going okay, his form wasn't that good. Yeah. So elected not to go there. And there was one other race for him that he was battled out when they shifted the rails out, the field sizes shrank.
Yep.
And so he missed out on what might have been his alternate run, and that was a bit disappointing. He finds himself in a race here that is sort of well within his capability. He's got a bit of weight, but he's a big, strong thing. I expect to run very well.
Okay, that's Spider Coda, race 7, number 3. I know it's slightly old news now, but Montag, it's out at Muskoka Farms. The deal's been done, going to John Moore.
Yeah, sort of mixed feelings about that. I suppose for the sake of business and the rest of it, it's the sort of thing you need to do. I've got a lot of pretty happy owners. But the reality is, I'd rather have him in the stable than not. But that's the nature of, good horses and lots of money.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, there are lots of money being offered. It's pretty hard to knock it back. Mm. All right, mate, good luck tomorrow with those two. And we'll watch Belief between races on Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. Anthony Cummings there. Those trials out at Randwick, a couple of interesting ones took place earlier. Excess Knowledge, who's on the way to Brisbane for Gabe Waterhouse led, got urged out a little bit the last 150 metres, won it by a length and a quarter, covered the 1,200 in 1:13.08. And Private Secretary, got pushed out just a little bit the last sort of 100 metres. I emphasise a little bit. Was sitting fourth pretty well all the way. Eventually ran third. It's on the way to Adelaide, is the suggestion to the Robert Sangster. So watch those trials. They're underway as we speak at Randwick. You can watch them, of course, on Sky Thoroughbred Central later today, or on the Racing New South Wales webpage. Well, I think it's the first time I've been able to speak to him here on Sky Sports Radio, leading gun apprentice and gun jockey out of Queensland, James Orman. Morning to you, James.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you, mate. Gee, you must be happy with the way things are going.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm having a good run. Gee, I'm some good horses, and it's been really good.
Well, that's the key to get on them, mate, but to lead the Queensland overall premiership and to be tied at this stage, I think, with Jim Byrne in the Brisbane Metro, that tells you are getting on some good horses.
Yeah, that's it, like you said. Yeah, and I'm getting good support from trainers. I only just lost my claim, so I suppose now's the time to just keep the ball rolling and hopefully I can keep them going.
Where do you base yourself, James?
I'm at Gatton with apprentice to my mum, so she's only got 5 horses in work, and yeah, I go up to Toowoomba and do trials and that sort of thing, but yeah, I'm just at Gatton here, and I do a lot of travelling.
Well, the one I wanted to, you've got a ride in virtually every race tomorrow, but the one I wanted to go straight to was the last, the Mick Dipman Plate. Blue Desert Moon, you're riding. Did you have the possibility of riding others in this race?
Yeah, I had a couple offers in the race. And it's a really good race.
Yeah.
Blue Desert Moon, she's a classy horse, that unbeaten, obviously, and very speedy, so... I had the offer of Styles for Song or Blue Desert Moon, and I just think Blue Desert Moon might have the edge on her over 1,000. Everyone knows how fast she is, and if she's come back good, I think she'll be winning again. But Styles for Song is going to be a good horse over 1,400, probably for the Winter Carnival.
Yeah, for sure. We spoke with Tony Sears earlier in the week with Blue Desert Moon. He seemed pretty happy. Given how speedy she is, would it be surprised? I mean, she's been able to lead and win in her previous races, but this is obviously a step up tomorrow, James.
Yeah, it is. Like, she's older now. I've spoke to a few people, and it's a tough 1,000, sort of the Calandra 1,000, but I think she's the type of horse that'll lead pretty comfortably, I would imagine. Take something pretty quick to lead her, but I'd say she'd lead pretty easy, and that's the sort of way she likes to race. She likes to just roll and do her own thing and lead, and that's how she's won all of her races anyway. So.
Exactly, and she seems to have those gears at the end that you do like in a good horse.
Yeah, that's it. You know, she does the work at both ends sort of thing, and a couple of those races last time in, you'd think she'd probably be entitled to get a little bit tired, but she was still strong to the line. So it's going to be a tough race. Like I said, the 1,000 at Calandra is a tough 1,000, but if she's come back good, I think she should be winning again. She's got the ability, that's for sure.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing her. Blue Desert Moon, which is race 8, number 12 at the Sunny Coast. Locks Legend is another one for Brian Smith that, you know, pretty good going towards this race tomorrow. Race 6, a horse that just keeps going.
Yeah, he's a really nice staying prospect for the Winter Carnival, this horse, but he always takes a few runs. Like, if you look at his form from last prep, he takes a few runs to strike form, and once he's race fit and going, he sort of holds his form pretty well. But, tomorrow I think is the day for him. He'll be fit, and he'll be, if he's not winning tomorrow, when he steps up, he'll be winning, I think, for sure.
Okay, so he is a horse that the one or two runs, and he just keeps going once he gets there. But you feel when we get into these true staying Brisbane races, he's going to be all right?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. He's a really nice stayer, and he's a really nice horse. Sure.
The first race tomorrow, just before I let you go, Lever is a horse that you've ridden last time at Doomben. This is a little tough sort of staying race as well. How do you see Lever tomorrow?
Yeah, well, anyone that saw its last run, you'd probably think it was something.
Yeah.
But it did a lot of work. I was caught wide. I was sort of in a bad spot the whole race, but I ended up rolling for the lead, and it did a lot of work, the horse, and it was really game effort to hold on and run second. It looked a winner, probably a 50 out, but obviously trained by Matty Dunn, who's in really good form.
Yeah.
I think probably it's probably one of my better rides tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Lord Coconuts is probably the one to beat. It was a good run last start too. But, Lever. If anyone who's listening watches that race from last start, it was a really good run.
Yeah. But, did plenty of work, as you say, and boxed on really bravely. Sounds like we start there in the first with Lever, and we come home with Blue Desert Moon in the last.
Yeah, that's it.
Good luck to you, James. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you during the carnival. I reckon a great deal. We thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Good on you. James Orman, who is leading the Brisbane Jockeys Premiership, and he's leading the Queensland Premiership by a long way. Luke Dipman's joining us now. Luke, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well, mate. I just spoke, obviously, to James, and I wanted to talk to him first about Blue Desert Moon. But it gives you the chance of riding a really nice horse in the race tomorrow, named after your dad, the Mick Dipman Plate, in Sold for Song.
Yes. Glad Jimmy had made the choice and I got the call up for her. He's certainly not the worst ride in the world, and I just thought I can knock him off at the finish.
Have you ridden at all against Sold for Song? Obviously, you've seen him in races or seen her in races.
Yeah, I was in the Gold Edition when she won that. But she's obviously a talented little filly, and she's proven she can pick up those listed races. So tomorrow should be another task for her, and hopefully she's there at the end.
Just listening to Luke, to James, that the 1,000 might be a bit short for Soul for Song going forward, that he feels maybe 1,400 and a little bit longer might be ideal for her.
Yeah, that probably looks to be her distance. First up tomorrow, so I'm just hoping she has that bit of spark in a first up run where she can get the 1,000.
The one in the previous, Worthy Cause, trained by John Zilke. I spoke with John a couple of times during the week. He seems to be pretty happy with the way this horse is going into this Ascot handicap tomorrow.
Yes, I've been on him a couple of times leading up to the race tomorrow, and honestly, I think he's come back a better horse than he was last prep, and we all saw what he did down in Melbourne, and he was running consistently. So
yep.
If he can run anywhere near that form, or if he's gone better, like I think he should be able to pick up that race tomorrow.
Riding track work, 1,200 first up and drawn, and a really nice barrier puts you in the right spot.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just fresh enough to have that sort of dash over the 12. It's not his ideal distance. He's probably looking for another couple of furlongs, but he'll be right in the mix. If he's just behind the speed early on, he'd be able to run over the top of them.
Do you know much about the two-year-old for John's Dreams of Plenty running back in the earlier race? It won on debut there a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I've sat on him a couple of times as well. He's still very green, but obviously he's got a lot of talent. John opted to claim last start when he ran at the Sunny Coast, and he gave a bit of a touch up there. So there's a couple other nice 2 year olds in his race, but he's another chance, and I like him for tomorrow as well.
And how do you see yourself going into the carnival, Luke? You've obviously put in a lot of hard work to build to where you are. You got plenty of hide about you. How do you see the winter carnival coming up for you?
Yeah, I can't wait, to be honest. I've got a nice couple of few rides coming up during that carnival, and just have to see how they sort of pan out and how their earlier races run. But if I could pick up a feature race or anything during the carnival, I'd be over the moon, to be honest.
Okay, I've just got a text here from, while I'm talking about Sunshine Coast tomorrow, this is pretty important with the market. In race two, or is it race three? Race three, Il Riccio for Tony Gollan, who was right in the market's got an elevated temperature and will be scratched. So race three, number nine, was in the market, will come out with an elevated temperature. So that helps Dreams of Plenty in that race.
Oh, 100%. The less in it, the easier it is to win, isn't it?
Yes. No, exactly. Hey, thanks for joining us. Good luck with your rides tomorrow. And again, with James, we'll talk to you during the carnival. You've got some great opportunities coming up.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Luke Dipman joining us there, along with James Orman, two of the best riding in Brisbane. Well, we woke up, many of us this morning, to tragic news. The acclaimed musician Prince, one of the best-selling artists of all time, has died aged 57. Tragic news. As I say, Prince dying at 57. I know it's unusual for a racing show, but I wanted to pay a little tribute, and there's no better man to pay tribute to Prince than this man. Our great Victorian form analyst, Dean Lester. How are you, Dean?
Hello, Andrew. Yes, it's a very sad day, really.
It is. Now, many people will be going, why is Dean Lester on? But you only went. He was only in Australia a couple of months ago.
Yeah, he did two shows in Sydney and two shows in Melbourne, and the ticket sales only went on sort of 5 or 6 days before the show, and it was a one-man show. It was Prince and his piano. That's what it was called, and that's the third time I'd seen him, and he was very fond of Australia. In fact, as you well remember, there was a period there of about 10 years where he did nothing because he had arguments with the record companies, and he was known as Symbol. And his first worldwide concert back after a 10-year absence was in Melbourne in 2003. And I was lucky enough to see that. And I saw him again in 2012. And as you said, I saw him, February 17. It was quite a unique's an overused term, but it was a unique show. It was just him and his piano. It was a 10 o'clock start, a midnight finish. It was something else.
I remember chatting to you. You were really excited. That was prior to the concert, and obviously he's left you with some great memories of that night. What made Prince stand out to Dean Lester?
He was a genuine artist, Andrew. You see a lot of great shows, and you see a lot of great singers. He was just into what he did, and it was so different to anything else. So the thing about the concert, sadly, most artists now encourage people to take photos and videos of their shows. You were ejected from the show if you even moved near your phone at that show. I saw three or four people get kicked out.
I would have lasted pre-sale or something.
Yeah, 5 minutes tops for you. It was, and now, sadly, he's passed. It's even more of a tragedy that we don't have those memories. But, it was certainly well worth seeing. And, I'm a big fan of That's My Release from Racing, his music. And and he was one that certainly, was very, as I said, a unique performer.
We played that song coming into it, and I know it was your favourite.
Absolutely. And he performed that at the recent concert. It holds a special place. I think our biggest memories with music are often through our teens and early 20s, and that was released when I was about 18. So I think there's some good memories around it.
Well, he had so many hit songs that our listeners will know. Little Red Corvette, Delirious. He had album after album.
He wrote for so many people, Andrew.
Nothing
Compares to You for...
Maniac Monday or whatever the...
Manic Monday for the
Manic
Bengals.
Monday, yeah.
Yep. He was a great artist in more ways than one.
Well, it's a very sad night. I know it's unusual, and I'm running late and all that sort of stuff, what's new people are saying, but I wanted to do it because it is, you have these moments, and the social media has just gone crazy with tributes, and Mick Jagger, I read one from him a little while ago. It's just a terrible loss, and it's now a terrible loss that we didn't have him for that 10 years.
Yeah, exactly so, Andrew. But I'll be listening to a lot of his music today whilst trying to find you a winner for Cranmer tonight in Caulfield tomorrow.
All right, mate. Dean Lester, obviously listening to him, a fan of Prince, and he left us with so many memories. It's Million Dollar Metropolitan Saturday coming up at Hawkesbury. Brian Fletcher will conduct his last meeting on that day before he leaves, and Greg Rudolph takes it over. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Andrew.
I'm going to give you a massive send-off, mate. You're going to be big time, not only at Penrith Panthers, but Hawkesbury tomorrow week. Seriously, nominations close Monday?
Yeah, nominations close Monday, Andrew. Yeah, just to remind all the trainers, because it is the Anzac Day, because we've slipped up a little bit there. We probably should have made it Tuesday, but I see Chris Waller and Chris Lees, they've all got their nominations in already, so most trainers are well aware of them. Closing time.
Okay. Hawkesbury Guineas, Gold Cup, Derby Crown. These are races, Brian, in recent years that have really blossomed into making this a major day, aren't they?
Well they are, Andrew. Now that the Blacktown Workers Hawkesbury Guineas is worth $200,000, the Panthers Hawkesbury Cup's gone up to $200,000, and then the Godolphin Crown has moved from $150,000 to $175,000. So there's enough money in the races to make them to sort of get to group status, which they are. They're all group three now. And I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of them move up a cog in the next year or two.
The Hawkesbury Guineas, it's always a strong race, and we always see Godolphin line up with a large team, but you've mentioned a couple of trainers there that'll be trying to win it as well, Waller and the other stables out of Sydney.
Yeah, no, it's normally a day where, Andrew, all the leading trainers arrive here, and like as you say, the Guineas is a very hot race as a rule, because Nazum won it last year and the year before Chautauqua won it. So you need a pretty smart one to be here. But this year, I'm sure we'll have all the leading trainers, and Peter Snowden, when he was with Godolphin, he always brought a team of horses here, and I spoke to him the other day, and he's going to do that now, but he's out on his own. He's still going to target the meeting, so that's good to know.
Claret Stakes is there for the two-year-olds, and I note you will run a Tab Highway?
Yes, yes. Just spoke to Peter Belandis a few months ago and said, Peter, I think we should have a Tab Highway on the meeting as well, and he agreed. So we've got that race on for the country trainers, which will be good, and hopefully they support that and we get a capacity field.
All right, so we'll talk to you a lot next week, and I know Sean is catching up with you next Thursday with his chin wag between 10:30 and 11 talk about your life there at Hawkesbury and what's coming up. So that'll be next Thursday, but a reminder for nominations that they close at 11 o'clock on Monday for Hawkesbury, the big standalone Saturday.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good weekend, mate.
Same to you.
Brian Fletcher joining us there. At 6 minutes to 10, this is Racing HQ. Simon Dinopoulos is playing by himself this morning. We will focus in with a partner over the Brisbane Winter Carnival. But, Simon, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Solo just for a couple of weeks, and then we'll sneak in someone relevant to Brisbane. But, mate, let's jump straight into them here. Time's on the wing. What have you found for our listeners tomorrow?
Yeah, kick off in race five, Andrew. I thought it was one of the highlights of the afternoon. A lot of promising horses lining up, and wouldn't expect the form to hold up heading towards the Brisbane Winter Carnival. But with Shandana, really liked this filly from the Chris Waller stable. Thought her effort first up behind Handfast was very good. She was a fast finishing fifth on that occasion. She was ridden back from the wide draw. Just really liked the way she found the line. And while she never came into contention, she was a clear third 100 metres past the winning post, and will no doubt take good improvement from the run. She continued to make good improvement last time in, and she looks to have picked up right where she left off. Hugh Bowman links back aboard on Saturday. He's unbeaten aboard the filly, and it's no secret he's in great form this season. Overall, he's striking at 24% with the Chris Waller camp, and he's sure to get her in the gun run from the good draw on Saturday. As I touched on, do expect her to press on to the Queensland Oaks this time in. I think she's definitely a filly to stick with, only on Saturday, but also during the Winter Carnival. Her ratings profile suggests she is on an upward spiral and is bred to be even better over further. She does line up against a few promising types in Falkenberg and Imposing Lass, but we do expect her to come out on top on Saturday. Race 5, number 8, Shandana.
Currently $3.80 with Tab fixed odds for Hughie Bowman. Race 5, number 8. Where's the next one, Simon?
Yeah, looking at race 8, Andrew, hopefully we can get a few winners at the back end of the card with Hetty Heights, a handy galloper from the Kimmore stable, who, while unable to fight out the finish in the provincial championship final, I thought her performance held plenty of merit. She finished sixth on that occasion, but she was only beaten just over two lengths and was really closing off well late. Now, she just got shuffled back on the turn. She didn't have a lot of luck in the straight and really liked the way she found the line. A winner of 4 of her 10 starts, she has displayed plenty of ability, and she raked well in this lineup on Saturday. I think she does possess the strongest form going into it. The slight drop back in trip should suit. Just hopefully she can settle a bit closer to the speed this time around. Brenton Abdullah sticks aboard. He's placing 4 of 7 attempts, and overall is striking at 23% with the Kimmore stable. Prior to the provincial championship final, two wins first up were very impressive. She was a sectional star first up at Newcastle, and then a performance at Wyong was very good leading into the final. I just think fourth up, she'll be ready to peak from the good draw. And I think she will be better suited back on a firm surface. I know she's proven on wet going, but her best performance against the clock have been on firm track. So I think if she can put her best foot forward on Saturday, she'll be right in the finish. Race 8, number 7, Hetty Height.
Righto, mate. And what about the last?
Yeah, just with Mogador, Andrew, promising 3-year-old. He was a bit plain first up and has since been freshened. They finished behind Santa Ana Lane on that occasion. I really like the way he's trialled in the lead up to this event. He's only lightly raced and has displayed above average ability. He wasn't disgraced in the Coolmore Stud Stakes prior to a break last time in. He finished fifth behind Japanese May on that occasion. Obviously, that form sees him well placed in a benchmark 85 race on Saturday. I think he is very well placed at the weights. And the biggest push for him, I think, on Saturday is the pace angle. Looks to be plenty going forward. Freezer Charges, Prince Famous, Miss Tempins, Shadow Force, they all can roll forward. And I think the backmarkers will certainly get their chance in the final event. I think from the middle draw, if J-Mac can get him close enough in the straight, I think he will prove hard to hold out. And just at his current price on offer, I thought he presented good value. I could mark him a lot shorter if you price him aggressively on his best form. So hopefully come home with the winner in the last three-year-old, Mogador, race 9, number 10.
All right, so the 3 for Simon Dinopoulos for Rose Hill, race 5, number 8, Shandana, currently $3.80 with fixed odds, then race 8, number 7, Hetty Heights at $5, and race 9, number 10, Mogador at $3.50. Looking forward to it all unfolding. We'll hear you on the radio between 11 and 11.30 tomorrow morning as well. Thanks a lot, Simon.
Yeah, cheers, Andrew. All the best.
Simon Dinopoulos from racingandsports.com.au. Couple of minutes to have a chat with Blake Shin. He's in Hong Kong. He's been riding stacks of work and now the build-up to the Queen Elizabeth II Cup on Sunday. Morning to you, Blake.
G'day, Andrew. How are you going?
Good, mate. Are you enjoying it up there?
Yeah, no, going well. You know, been up here, obviously, since Sunday and rode work from Monday onwards and... yeah, thoroughly enjoyed my time and things are going well.
Well, on Sunday, you ride this horse, Aline Happy Star, for John Moore, who's got 3 in the race, and you've come up on paper with a poor number, barrier 12, from this 2,000-metre start. What's John said?
Oh, look, yeah, it's obviously not ideal, Andrew. He's, you know, he can go forward, which he has done and won in the past, or he can settle back, but... you know, I'm just up here having a chat to John now and working out the race. But, yeah, not sure on tactics as yet. But, look, he's ran a second behind Designs on Roman. We know how good he is because, obviously, Tommy Berry's won on him before and had a good interest watching him. So, look, he's pretty good credentialed horse when he's right. And if the weather forecast is right, they're predicting heavy showers, which the horse loves. So that's going to bring him well into contention if the track gets rain affected.
All right. Well, we'll monitor that, particularly on Sunday at Cha Tin. You mentioned you've ridden work most mornings, and I know you went to Happy Valley on Wednesday. This is the longest period you've stayed in Hong Kong to ride. Are you loving it?
Oh, look, I am enjoying it. Obviously... my plan was after the carnival to have a break, a couple of weeks off, and then I got offered the ride to ride Aline Happy Star. So I thought, you know, use my time wisely. I'll come over here for the week, prepare, have a little bit of a rest, and you know, it's been good. I've had a good feel of the place, relaxed a bit, and met some nice people. John Moore's been really good to me, and you know. Some nice owners and trainers that I've met along the way, and I am enjoying it. It's a very interesting place, and it's a world class place, and having fun here.
Is it something that you want to do?
Look, I've always dreamed of riding here. I must admit, I've watched racing in Hong Kong since I was a young kid.
Yeah,
but I'm going pretty well. Pretty well in home. I've worked hard to get to where I am, and you know, if an opportunity comes in Hong Kong, you've certainly got to consider it. But you know, nothing's come of as yet. But you know, if that time comes, well, then I've just got to weigh it up, Andrew. But things are going pretty good at home, I must admit.
Yeah, no, exactly. I haven't looked at all of the card. Have you got other rides on Sunday?
I do. I've got 2 other rides for John Moore, and I think both have got. Pretty good chances. One's called Rich City Fortune, the other's Supreme Falcon. They've come up with good draws. Both are in quite good form and in winnable races. But obviously in Hong Kong, you know, there's not much between the horses, so you just need that little bit of luck. I can give them good rides, and the things pan out in the race. You know, we're a chance of getting a winner over here. So fingers crossed.
Mate, good luck with it. I hope Aline Happy Star runs well. I know you rode it in work. I think it was yesterday, but good luck with it, mate. Are you far from John Moore?
I'm literally maybe 2 minutes, 20 metres.
20 metres. Now,
I'm actually, James Heddo, James Hedo, the general manager of
He's having
a chat to John at the moment. He's up here with Mark Player, and there's plenty of Australians over here. So, and David Hayes. So it's it's really good. It's a great vibe here. It's a great week, and it's just good to be involved, Andrew.
David Hayes is going to join us in about 15 minutes with the boys on Tab Talk. Are you brave enough? John does know me, so I'm not putting you in an uncomfortable position. But are you? Do you want to see if he wants to just give me 60 seconds?
Yeah, I'll see.
Okay, we're talking with Blake Shin live on air here in Hong Kong. John Moore's got three in the race and one that we've spoken about with Blake.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, John. We're live on air. We appreciate you just taking a very prompt call from us via Blake.
Oh, exactly. He's here and with the CEO of the club, and we're just having a chat about the big event on Sunday.
I've got to ask you, we've spoken to Blake about his, but how do you see Werther in this race, John?
I see him with a big chance. He's done everything right. He hasn't put a foot wrong since the Derby. There appears to be some poor weather forecasting for the weekend. We're probably going to get some heavy showers for that. You know, from that point of view, I think, and the fact that he can lay up, I think he's a live chance with the Japanese, no doubt, inside him, the favourite. Lovely day.
And what about the one that we haven't spoken about? We've spoken with Blake about his mount, Helene Happy Star, but you've also got Designs on Rome for Tommy.
Exactly. Yeah, we're just hoping that the race is run to suit Designs on Rome, because he makes a big run from the 700 and has to make up quite a bit of ground, as you know. But if the race wasn't run to suit, then making up that ground in the final 400 might go against him. But, the way the race is run will be the telling factor for his chances.
Sounds like, mate, I mean, the showers that you mentioned, we're just going to have to monitor that on Sunday.
Definitely. I think anybody who's betting on Hong Kong would have to look into the weather report, because it will be a telling factor with respect to chances in the race.
And, John, mate, can you leave a couple of good Aussie horses here? You've got Montague now.
Yeah, George bought Montaigne through Anthony Cummings, and we're very excited about having him up here next season. So, another Derby prospect for 2016-2017.
Yeah, looking forward to watching him up there. Thanks for taking – I know Blake put you on the spot there, mate, but we thank you for having a chat with our radio audience back here in Sydney.
Yeah, no problem. It's great. Okay, I'll put you back to Blake.
Good on you. Thanks, John. Bye. John Moore joining us there, and we'll say goodbye to Blake here.
Hi, Andrew.
Good on you, Blake. Thank you for doing that on the spot. We are running terribly late, but I'll leave it with you, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, mate.
Good on you, mate. Blake Shin joining us there from Hong Kong.